We're without music tonight, unless someone really has to volunteer or would like to volunteer to come up and sing. Ruth won't let me sing my only song, but... Well, we got to wait till after it grows dark, and then we got to build a fire. Oh my! Any other? Okay. Well, I titled this "Praise the Lord." Psalm 71:14 says, "But I will hope continually, and I will yet praise Thee more and more." And Psalm 42:5 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." And we're all kind of downcast because of what's going on in the world right now, and we talk about it and have prayers about it, and prayers that we would protect people that are in harm's way all over and all around the world. So, one of the things that we sometimes fail to do, I think, in prayer, is we kind of are so concerned about these things that are going on in the world and our family situation and what's going on, that we ask for a lot of things and we kind of forget what prayer includes, and prayer does include praising God. And perhaps some other things that you might not think about, and I probably will drive you crazy here with a few dictionary definitions, but let me share with you a little bit. This, and I intend this to be encouraging. It may not be because the facts are the facts, but it should be encouraging to you. This is fair time in the country. In those country cities, it's country fair time, and this is a fun time for those farmers. They bring their harvest to the fair, and they brag about their corn, and they brag about their pigs. Can you bragging about their pigs and everything that they do on the farm? And in my hometown, we had a little country rodeo fair. The carnival came in. It was four days for the rodeo. And then there, after the rodeo, there was the drag car races and there was the band marching. Always, though, the Sunday after this, the churches were filled up with, and pretty good follow-up, because the churches then would praise the Lord and made an effort to bring people in that had come, the cowboys and those that were, you know, some of the cowboys that rode the circuit came from little old Coffeyville, Kansas, from Oregon and Montana, and they would work for the prizes. And why anybody would get up on a horse and ride it at all, and let alone one that's going to buck them off anyway, I really don't understand that. But anyway, my parents were not wealthy, and it was a 4-day festival, and of course times were different, and I got $4 for the 4 days, $1 a day. And my hangout was the penny pitch. And I could, on a good day, I could make a buck or two on the penny pitch. Now, I lost money on the other days, but on a good day, I could. And I could balance it out so that I could really come out at the end of the 4 days with a buck or two left. So, anyway, The root word for fair is phyria. Phyria is a Roman word for a large gathering to celebrate and worship their gods. Now, the Romans had seven gods in their hill, and two of them were a wolf and a boy that lived together. And you got to hear the stories. They're kind of crazy, but if you go there to Rome, somebody there will tell you the stories about the boy and the wolf that lived in the hills outside Rome. Don't take much count in what they say, though. Fairs developed into showcasing the farmer's work, season bounties, pig calling contests, pie eating contests, and everyone in America loves a local hero. And so they would seek to get the honors, the ribbon. It wasn't big cash awards in those days, but get the ribbon. In fact, our high school was named in honor of Field Kinley, World War II air ace fighter pilot, and he was a renowned hero that we could honor. But the world's kind of gotten away from these fairs. They still have one down in Tyler, and they still have state fair and that, and people still participate in it, and those people that do enjoy going to the fairs. But the great many people really don't. And it's kind of the same thing with praising God. People used to praise God for all the things that he did, but the truth of the matter is the world's gotten away from it. The troubles the world has, we've kind of forgotten God. We've forgotten the Father God, God the Son, the Holy Ghost. We've kind of forgotten it. Rather, we have our concerns now. And our concerns are at least four that I think are really very prevalent right now in the world. And I kind of want to mention them quickly. One of them is the economy. Now, I've been coming here to this church and spending time here Tuesday nights, a lot of times alone in here, preparing for the Wednesday night service. And for about however long I've been here, until the last 2 months, I've never had one person come to the door seeking money while I was here, all by myself or with other people. I never have. But five people have while I've been here in the last month and a half. Five people. So the economy is getting tough. And you know, when a guy comes walking up to the door here and he's dressed in fine pair of jeans and of pants, not jeans, they were dress pants and fine pair of shoes, and he asked me, and I thought he was asking last night for a place to stay, and he was queasy on that, and then finally he just said, now he has four bags from Walmart. He says he needed $4 to get the rest of his stuff from Walmart. And I don't know whether I did right or not, but I really didn't respond because I didn't really feel like he was being square with me, because he said one thing once that was unclear and then a second thing. And I've had them do that before in service stations where they come up to me, oh, my mother's in the hospital and I don't have enough gas to go to get to the hospital. I gave her the money, and the next time I told her, I thought I'd heard that story before. But anyway, it's difficult sometimes to know what to do, but the economy's going to creep down on this country. It's already beginning to show. The second thing is the war in Israel. War is a misnomer. This is an assassination plot. And the Muslims have called Israelis pigs for a long time, and they've called for the death of the pigs, and they've called for the death of the U.S. and the destruction of the United States. And there is evidence, you see, that the armor that the Muslims are using came from Afghanistan, that we left there for them to use against us. And of course, you know, Biden released $6 billion to Hamas. Hamas is a Muslim organization. And back in the days of George Washington said, don't have anything to do with the Muslims. Now, the reason he said that is because the Muslims were on the African coast and they were pirates that took American supplies and goods and money and ships for their own use. But now we have Muslims in Congress. Then there's the border, and whether you like it or not, Hamas is here. Hamas is here. They're here in America, and their goal is to destroy us. That's you all, Jews and Christians, that's us all. And the fourth thing that's really sad is the federal government doesn't give a good darn. They really don't care. They really do not care. If they did, you see, we'd have a chairman and nothing flat, and they'd be doing something about it. But they don't care, because we got just as many bad eggs in both parties as we do anywhere in the United States. They're not going to protect you. Now, the state might. Our county might. But the federal government, so, I want to turn to Isaiah 59, 12 through 15. And so, and I'm really reading this just to demonstrate that this is, that what we're going through here now is nothing new. 59, 12 through 15. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us as for our iniquities. We know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart of the words of falsehood. And the judgment is turned away backward, and the justice standeth far off. For the truth is fallen on the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from the evil himself a prey, and the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, and there was no judgment for those that depart from that evil. So then, I want to turn to Matthew 15:1-9. And this is, of course, in Christ's time, but it also demonstrates that it's not new. Then came Jesus, the scribes and the Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. And he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. He that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whoever shall say to this his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. And honor not his father or his mother, and he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men. Now, this is just people that are not following God, and so Christ is making it pretty clear there that he doesn't support those people that deviate from that. So now let me turn to Matthew 6, verse 9. Verse 6. This is the instruction of Jesus on praying, and I'm just reading the first verse here for right now. But anyway, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I want you to look and recollect that hallowed, what does hallowed mean? What does hallowed mean? Well, I'm going to go through some dictionary definitions here because I want to kind of get through what it means to praise the Lord. Hallowed, definition, dictionary. Number one, sanctified or consecrated. In other words, God is sanctified or consecrated. Number two definition, to honor and respect. And then my question is, how does that differ from praise? Well, what is the definition of praise? Praise, an expression of approval, is number one definition. Number two is expression of admiration, number two. Number three is extolling of a deity, a ruler, a hero. Number four is merit. It's an old type definition. In other words, whoever your praise has merit of some sort. And then there's a whole bunch of synonyms: applaud, command, laud, express warm approval, commend. Then some of the verses that talk about praising talk about extol. Extol means to praise lavishly. And some of the verses change that extol to exalt. And exalt, the definition is to raise in rank, character, or status. Number two definition is to glorify or praise. Praise. To intensify or heighten. That's part of exalt. Glorify, to give glory, great praise or honor, to give glory. Number two definition, something that brings high honor. Number three, highly praiseworthy. Here we are again, back to praise. Number four, adoration. Number six, I've skipped five and I don't remember why. Perfect happiness of heaven. Number seven, peak of achievement. That's glorified. And then we read in the first verse, we read honor. Honor mother and father. Well, what does honor mean? One, first definition is a special esteem or respect. Number two is a source or a cause of credit. Number three is recognition or distinction, a seat of honor or title. In other words, recognize. recognize, to know something that has been perceived before, to know from previous experience, to know or acknowledge validity or reality, to acknowledge a speaker, to acknowledge an acquaintance by salutation, to acknowledge by giving thanks. Acknowledge, to know, to recognize, to confess, to avow or admit, to express recognition, to express gratitude. Gratitude, the stating of being grateful or thankful. Thanks, acknowledgement of a gift or a favor, a benefit, an expression of gratitude. See how all this loops back in to the whole thing. All of these words. So when we talk about honor the Father, we're talking about praising the Father. When we talk about thanks, we're even talking about praising the Father. Well, Psalm 107, verse 1 says, "O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." And then I want to turn to Ephesians 5:18-20. Ephesians 5:18-20. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Giving thanks for all things. Well, now that causes me to make some questions here. Some questions about this. Because you see, my understanding of all is all things. And if we're talking about all things, are we giving thanks to God for this war? I don't think that's really what that means. I think this really means thanks for all things that God's doing. Because He makes it very clear early on in the earlier chapters and the earlier verses that He does not accept those that are doing evil. So I don't think it means we give thanks for the war itself. I think it really is more likely to suggest that we give thanks for what God is doing in the war. He knew it was going to happen. He knew the aliens in Texas would be victims. He knew that the government showed disinterest. Our government showed disinterest. And for some reason, Israel's own people had some disinterest before it happened. So, is this really that we give thanks and praise for all these things, or is it for what God is doing? God is actually doing. All is still all, but kind of lets out all if it includes the damage that's being done by the evil ones. The praise of God as He is moving forward, that's what we're really looking at, is the praise of God in what He's doing. We, you and I, are the workers. And as a result of these evil things going on, we are going to be working in whatever field God has us. Fortunately, we're in Mineola, and this is a pretty decent place, and this state is protective of us, and this county's sheriff is vowed that he's going to be protective of us no matter who knocks at your door. But we are God's workers, and we're in the process of working for God in that capacity. The praise of God is that this is all, even if we're involved in some event that is not to our good, to our liking, even if we are in harm's way, even if we are harmed, we are still working in God's process of working for God toward the rapture. That's where he's headed. That's where he's headed, is moving us toward the rapture. So, we ought to be praising the Lord every day. We ought to be praising him every day for what he's doing to protect us, and for what, and it ought to be part of our prayer. We ought not to drop it out and skip to the things we want. So we pray, you see, for the war to end. That's okay to pray for the war to end, but in the process, we need to pray for what God's doing behind the scenes, what he's doing in the process. We need to pray, you see, for those people that are going to be short of the funds and come to the door, and we need to pray for what we do in response to those people. Do we have a room for them to stay? Are they believers? Do we have a room for them to stay? Is that something we ought to be looking at doing? Do we have a funding system that would help fund those people that really are believers and have real need? Do we have a way to check all of that out? We need to be looking at what we do with regard to each of these issues. In the process, we need to be praying and praise the Lord every day. Well, David was good about praying to God. And Psalm 145 is David's psalm of praise. Psalm 145. Now, I'm not going to read it all, but it's David's psalm of praise. I will extol thee, in my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee, and I will praise thee, praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise the works of to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and thy wondrous work. And the man shall speak of the might of the terrible acts, and we will declare thy greatness. And see, what we had here is one generation, that's us, that's you and I, shall praise the works to our children. How well have we done? How well have we done? They give us trouble. Give us a lot of trouble, but what God's telling us is we shall praise the works to those children. We shall praise those works to those people that don't know the Lord. So, how well are we doing? So then, 146, praise for God's help. Praise ye, Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live and I praise the Lord, I will sing praises unto my God while I have being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth. He returneth to his earth in that very day. His thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath God of Jacob for his help. For those who hope is in the Lord, which is made in heaven, earth, and sea, which execute judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord open the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them. They are bowed down. Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers and relieveth the fatherless widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even unto God, O Zion. And see here, hear what the praise is. The praise is that he answers our prayers. He answers our prayers. So we need to pray for what we, our needs, for truth and goodness and faith and love and patience and wisdom and guidance and all of that, and the ability to withstand and stand strong in the face of what's going on in our country. Hamas is here. If they face me up, then which way do I go? My only choice is to recite the words of God. That's the only choice we really have, to do God's will. Well, in 147, Psalm 147 is God's praise for the regathering of Israel, which is going on right now because we're aiming right now, and it appears to me that we're headed in due speed, good speed, towards the rapture. Now, that may be 100 years from now, but I think we're going much faster now than we ever have in this world. So we're headed, I think, that way. And 148, God is praised by all creation. All the creation should be praising God. All of God. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Fire, hail, snow, vapor, stormy wind, filling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying, praying for all creation. And then 149 is God praised by the children of Zion. And then God's praise, summarization in 150 of God's praise. And I'm going to read all of Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord, praise God, his sanctuary, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him in the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and the organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him beyond upon the high-sounding cymbals. And let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And here we are in this church, you see, we ought to be praising the Lord with everything we have. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And yes, thank him. And yes, honor him. And yes, exalt him. And yes, halloweth his name. And yes, all of those things that fit under the praise, we ought to be doing all of that as part of what we do. And to go right back to where we were when I started, you see, when we were just starting, I was saying that whether there's one or three, or four, or five here, those that are here are praying. If they are praying, God hears your prayer. God hears that prayer. He knows that we are here. He knows that this church exists no matter how few come, no matter how many come. He knows we're here because those that are here tonight are praying. And in so doing, we're praising the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for who you are and for what you do, and for being our God and our Father and our Creator and our in Ruth's and my case, our matchmaker, and for being in our home and in our hometown and in our very being, walking with us and talking with us. We want to thank you for all that you do, the many, many blessings that we get that we don't even know you're doing, the provisions you make for us from day to day, the air we breathe and the water we drink. And we thank you, Father, for this beautiful day that you have given us. We pray, Father, that you walk with us and talk with us, and that you teach us as we walk along, that we search your heart and your wisdom and your guidance and your goals every day, that we ask you to answer our questions and to give us wisdom. We pray, Father, that in the process, we praise you and give you the honor and the glory in all things. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.